Greetings from Sequoia Hills Baptist Church. Today is March 28th, 2020. Here are some announcements for this week. As of today, we are still closed through April 5th. We are still under a city and state mandate to not gather. We will be keeping up with everything to see when we can open. We'll go week to week about the closing. Be sure to check our website, Twitter, and Facebook. However, we are planning a prayer drive for April the 11th. And what we're going to do, we're going to do a perimeter like Joshua did in the Bible. The boundaries will be 11th Street, South Delaware. West Pine Street on the north, Yale Avenue on the east. However, you can receive instructions by email or come to the church on Saturday the 11th at 1 o'clock and pick up a folder that will be taped to the outside window. All right, to give your tithes and offerings, you can email it, drop it in the mail slot at the church, or give online. Let me introduce Brother John with what we have from the committee.
Good morning. It's good to be here so that we can talk to you. The Pastor Search Team Committee, we have received at this point 11 resumes, and as a committee team, we have met and prayed over 6 of them. 5 of them, the last 5, I have simply sent to the team and given them copies as required or the email. We are praying for over all these for God's will. And as we read through them, yes, I feel God talking to us in various ways. We will continue meeting after the go-ahead that we can meet of greater than 10 people at a time. In the meantime, keep praying for the team as we are even gathering more resumes. And likewise, I have a little bit of information that give me a moment, and I will bring this up. I think you might be impressed with it. As you're driving, if you get stopped by the police, as you open the window, just start coughing. Think about that. Also, the lady that does the house cleaning called and said, I will be working from home, and I'll be giving you instructions on what to do. So little bits of humor come out of this thing, and there's more of them, but time limit. So thank you very much.
All right, thanks, John. As always, let's pray, and then the pastor will come to lead the sermon. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we praise you, Father, for this is the day that we know you have made. Father, we pray for everybody who is fearful, Father. We pray for everybody that is anxious. Father, I pray that you would calm hearts. Father, we pray for those that are sick. Father, that you would heal them. Father, we pray for those that has lost loved ones. Father, may they feel your comfort and your love. Father, I pray as we go through this trying time, we would be the salt and the light that you called us to be. Father, I pray that when we can't trace your hand, that we would trust your heart. Father, for all glory goes to you in Christ's name. Just something real quick. I want everybody to know that you are loved, you are missed. However, this too shall pass.
Thank you so much, Jerry and John. I appreciate you both. I want to talk to you a little bit about form and function. And I think at this time of our lives, we need to understand the difference between form and function. The form that we have been using to worship and to share the gospel and to disciple people have been large group meetings in church buildings. That's a form. The function, the reason we do it, is so that people would grow in their faith, would be discipled, and that those who do not know Jesus Christ would come to know him. And when you start talking about form, it often changes. But when you talk about function, it can never change. Whatever we do as Sequoia must always have the ultimate goal of discipleship and evangelism. Right now, we're in the midst of a time that we did not ask for, but that we cannot do our customary form. We cannot do it. So therefore, we have to figure out how to do evangelism and discipleship with new forms. And I want to tell you, we've got some good ideas about new forms that you're going to hear about. The deacons will meet about them, such as a drive-in service, a drive-in Lord's Supper time, meetings online, and so forth, so that we can accomplish what we're called to accomplish as a church with new forms. Now, we're in the midst of a series, and I want this to be as normal as possible, talking about experiencing God in Old Testament characters. Well, let me just share with you, I'm going to do an Old Testament character today that you probably have never heard of. Well, you have if you read your Bible every year, but you may have even missed him. His name is Shamgar. Shamgar. If you have a Bible close by, you can turn to Judges chapter 3. Judges chapter 3, verse 12. Judges 3, verse 12. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And because they did this evil, the Lord gave Eglon, king of Moab, power over Israel. Getting the Ammonites and the Amalekites to join him, Eglon came and attacked Israel, and they took possession of the city of palms. The Israelites were subject to Eglon, king of Moab, for 18 years. Again, the Israelites cried to the Lord, and he gave them a deliverer, Ehud, a left-handed man, the son of Gerar, the Benjamite. The Israelites sent him with tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now, Eglon made a double-edged sword about a cubit long, which he stayed to his right hand under his clothing. And he presented the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab, who was a very fat man. And Ehud presented the tribute he sent on the way, who carried it. But on reaching the stone images near Gilgal, he himself went back to Eglon and said, "Your Majesty, I have a secret message for you." And to make a long story short, Ehud stabbed the king, and he was so fat that they could not see the sword, and he got away. Now, the reason I read that is Ehud was a deliverer from inside Israel. But in chapter 5, verse 16, we come across I've got the wrong passage here. 331, I'm sorry, 3:31. After Ehud came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He too saved Israel. I want to talk to you about Shamgar. Now, Shamgar, that's one verse, not many words, but I think his story applies to our situation today. I don't know about you, but I watched Hope Will Arise, Let Hope Arise. Wow. And it encouraged me with hope and the fact that God is on his throne. But in light of the fact that we're going to let hope arise, and I hope you get to see it if you have not, we're going to do some things as people that we need to do because we have hope in our hearts. The first thing I want you to notice about Shamgar is he did what he could. He did what he could. God didn't ask him to do something that was impossible. God didn't ask him to do something that he could not do. He simply did what he could. I tell you what, during this time, all God's asking of each one of us is that we do what we can. Not that we do what we can't. And as you know, our government officials have limited what we can do. But there's an infinite number of things we can do. We got to do what we can do. For instance, you can walk around your neighborhood and pray for your neighbors and pray that they would be healthy. Linda and I have walked almost every day around our neighborhood, and we could be praying for each house that God use this time of discomfort and anxiety to open up hearts for the gospel. And you can do a lot of things. God expects us to do what we can. We can continue to give. We can give online. We can give by mailing it. We can give by coming back and dropping it in the by and dropping it in the box. Giving is still something we can do. We can pray. And this has been covered. It'll be covered almost by every pastor who speaks on this weekend. We can continue to pray. There's a lot of things we can't do. Let's don't major on the things we can't. Let's major on the things we can. And your deacons and leadership are asking God to give us creative things that we can do to minister to our family and Sequoia and to minister to our neighborhood within the parameters that have been given to us. And ladies and gentlemen, we won't violate government orders. Romans 13 says we can't. Romans 13 says these authorities were appointed by God and they're given for our protection. So we got to do what we can, and we can't sit around and complain about the things we can't do. Shamgar did what he could. And then I want you to notice another thing. He did it where he was. He did it where he was. He did what he could where he was. You know, I've never been in a time where travel was so limited. I have never seen, except 911 for a few weeks, airplanes parked on a runway at Tulsa Airport. It's the most incredible thing you have ever seen. You know, we have to minister now where we are. Our mission field now is here. We have to take what God has given us and minister to the people in our families. Don't miss that. Maybe one thing God is doing is encouraging us to minister and pray with and disciple each other in the family unit. By the way, that was always God's plan. Always. Fathers are responsible for the evangelism and discipleship, along with the cooperation and support of his wife to disciple the family. And so, where we are is in a family. We also have a neighborhood. And we can do some creative things without violating any rules, any procedures in our neighborhoods. We have talked to some of our neighbors. We have maintained a distance. We have shared what's going on in our lives. Alfred de Souza said, "For a long time it had seemed to me that life was about to begin, real life. But there was always some obstacle in the way, something to get through first, some unfinished business, time still to be served, a debt to be paid. Then life would begin. At last it dawned on me that these obstacles were my life." We are in life. Every day passes. That's our life passing. We don't wait for tomorrow or the next week or when the rules are relaxed to minister. We do what we can where we are. James 4:13 says, "Look here, you people. You people who say today or tomorrow we're going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what will happen tomorrow? For your life is like the morning fog. It is here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you will be boasting about your own plans, and all such boasting is evil." I just want to share with you that as I look at the Channel 6 app online or Channel 8 or whatever, they have a whole section of postponements. I think that's interesting. Football, basketball, baseball, soccer, high school sports, all canceled. Schedules were made years ago. It was people saying, on this and that day, we will do this. And now all of that has changed because we don't know what tomorrow brings. All we know is we have today. So we do what we can where we are today. Who knows what tomorrow holds? I think it's very biblical and interesting that the people who are giving information on TV says, now we really don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Finally, they're admitting it. We don't. So we do today. We live today to the fullest. When we get up in the morning, we say, God, what do you want me to do today? How do you want me to help someone further along in their faith? Is it a phone call, email? How do you want me to share the gospel? Is it just conversing with the neighbors? We walk the neighborhood who comes out. Yeah, it doesn't have to be at a distance. But the gospel can move across distances. I don't think for a moment we should waste our lives during this time. I think we should invest them however we can, wherever we are. And then he did this with what he had. Now, if you're going to go against the enemy, you have a choice. Sword, spear, ox goad. You're going to take the sword and spear every time. But all Shamgar had was an ox goad. He took what he had, where he was, and he did what he could. He delivered Israel. Isn't that incredible? Now, if he could have done it our way, he would have had help. He would have had a better weapon. He would have had people encouraging him. He had an ox goad, and he, ladies and gentlemen, delivered Israel with what he had. It is important for us to know that God has given us everything we need for life and godliness and everything we need to accomplish his will for us during this time. We got it. We just have to decide what it is. It's a computer. It's a telephone. It's our feet. It's our hearts in prayer. What do you have? Maybe you have some extra food and you want to take it to a lady next door who's a shut-in. Whatever you have, use it. Use it for the glory of God. Use it to alleviate need. Just take what you have, where you are, and do what you can. God doesn't ask anything else. This is not a time to waste our lives. It is our time to find new forms that may even work better than the old forms. It is our time to do what we can to reach people for Jesus Christ. Dear Sequoia, God has not left his throne. This did not surprise him. He is working behind the scenes. And one day, we will see all that he was doing. Now, I have just a few principles I want to share with you, and then we'll be done for today. First of all, whenever we cry out to God, he shows up. Whenever we cry out to God, let's cry out to God and say, God, here we are. We want to do what we can where we are with what we have. Show us, lead us, guide us. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but you do. Lead us so we will not waste energy, resources, or time doing things that aren't your will. Lead us. When we cry out to God, he will show up. God calls, number two, all of his children to bring all that they are in obedience to all that he is. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech ye, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of service. God wants us all. He wants us. He is doing this. But he's given us the greatest gift he could give us, and that's himself. That's himself. Therefore, we give ourselves to him. Number three, God works in a variety of ways through a variety of people, but he does not deviate from his truth. But neither does he always comply with our expectations. I want to read Isaiah 55, 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. You see, ladies and gentlemen, here it is. God's doing something. Now, you and I may not have chosen to do it this way, but we're not as smart as God. We don't think on his level. He's doing something. And maybe one of the things he's doing is forcing us to get closer to our families or to meet our neighbors, albeit 6 feet away. That's probably a pretty good distance for a neighbor. But let me tell you, he doesn't always comply to our expectations. Read Habakkuk. He wanted Israel's enemies punished, and then when God said he was going to he wanted Israel disciplined, then God told him how he was doing it through a pagan country. He had problems with it. God didn't do as he expected. In my lifetime, I never expected I would hear the President of the United States, the governor of the state of Oklahoma, and the mayor of our city tell us, you can't meet in groups larger of 10 on Sunday morning. Never dreamed it. Never expected God to work through this. But he is, and he will, folks. He is alive. And he's in charge. We just got to join him in what he's doing. And then God uses unexpected people to bless his children. Shamgar was an outsider. He was an unexpected person. In this time, unexpected people will bless you. Thank them. Appreciate them. And in this time, we will bless others when they don't expect it. Because that's what God will lead us to do. And the last thing is, don't miss this. I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. I do not care your physical condition. Listen to this. God will use you if you let him. And if you don't fence him in by your expectations. Don't think you are limited by your abilities. God made you who you are and prepared works for you to do. I want to read Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God's prepared works for you to do during this time. God has. I think we need to get busy doing what each one of us has been called to do during this time. We just simply take what we have, where we are, do what we can under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But let me remind you, it's all about Jesus. Jesus died on a cross for us. He died on a cross for our neighbors. He died on a cross for the people of this city. And I want you to know you can trust him. I want you to know he will bring hope to your heart. And if you've never received him, today would be a great opportunity. You just simply believe in Jesus. Understand that because of your sin, you were separated from him. But he died on the cross so that separation could go away. And now, if we receive his payment by faith, if we receive him into our heart, we will never perish, but have eternal life. One of the things God is doing is he's reminding all of us how close death is, how fragile life is. But I want to tell you something. We who know Jesus, we who have received him, can do what we can where we are with what we have without fear. Because to die is gain. We will be what God wants us to be. I challenge us as a church and as individuals. Well, I wished you were in this room with me. These pews don't do much. But I tell you what, I've missed you. And I've missed seeing you greet and enjoy each other. And I have missed the worship, though we get it in other places now. And I can't hardly wait until we can gather again and celebrate what God has done through us when we do what we can, where we are, with what we have. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for this wonderful church. I pray you'll bless them and encourage them to know, Lord, that you're going to use this time to reach people and help us to get to know people and disciple. This will not be wasted. The forms are different, but the functions are still the same. Lord, I just commit to doing what I can where I am with what I have. Amen.